Genesis chapter 12. Let's read verses 1 through 5, if you will. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now, if you'll study the life of Abraham, you'll see a life of faith. And any time the New Testament talks about faith, it usually talks about Abraham, reminds us of his great faith. The Jewish people, they recognized by his faith, the Jewish nation was founded. By his faith, a whole new race of people began. By his faith, a nation was set up so that the Savior could be born through that nation that could be a blessing to the whole world. So God loved Abraham, and God blessed Abraham, and God took care of Abraham. But there was some faith involved in that. God didn't just, you know, pour it down on him. He had to do what God told him to do. And it's the same way with us. We can have faith, and we can have enough to be saved, or we can go on farther than that. We can have more faith. But the sad thing is, most people don't get past the salvation. They'll have just enough faith to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And they won't move not one inch after that. Some won't even get baptized. There'll be people in heaven who never got baptized. I really believe that. You don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. There'll be people in heaven who never took part in the Lord's Supper. When we call out that we're going to have the Lord's Supper here, half the people will stay out, because they don't have the faith that they'll have enough to be obedient in that area, because they know they have sin in their life and they're afraid to give up that sin. So they're afraid if they take the Lord's Supper, he's going to chasten them for having sin in their life when they take the Lord's Supper, because their faith is so small, they don't understand it. They just don't understand it. Some don't understand baptism. They don't have enough faith to get baptized scripturally. Some don't understand the Lord's Supper. Some don't have growing faith. They have saving faith. They just don't have growing faith. And so here's Abraham. He is a perfect example of the steps of faith. Now, I'm going to show you three steps tonight, and that's it. And we'll go home. Now, you know my steps are long, don't you? Oh, I had them a little short steps. But number one, in Genesis chapter 12, look at verse 5. And Abraham took Sarai's wife and his lot and their substance, and they gathered all they'd gotten in Haran. And look what it says. They went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. Now listen, the first step to being a Christian is you leave all by faith. That's what repentance is. Repentance is not quit drinking liquor, smoking pot. Repentance is turning your back on everything and turning your face to the Savior to be saved. Do you understand that? You can quit drinking liquor, still go to hell. You can quit drinking liquor, join the church, and still go to hell. See? Now, when you got saved, that day you got saved, you were supposed to turn your back on everything. That's repentance. That's a change of mind. That's a change of direction. And you turn to the Lord and you trusted Him by turning to Him and away from all that. By faith, you did that. For years, the reason I wouldn't get saved is I just didn't think I could turn my back on some things. And a lot of people are that way. They won't get saved because they have a pet sin or something, and they're afraid they can't leave it. But when you get saved, you leave all for God, as Abraham left all for God. He left his kinfolks, he left his land, he left his fame, he left everything, and he followed God, and he turned his back on everything else. When I got saved, word got down to Lancaster, where I'm from, not Lancaster, California, not Lancaster, Lancaster. And they said, Ron Roddy's done, he's lost his mind. He's gone religion crazy. That woman has gotten him messed up, got him in church. He goes to church on Sunday morning. He goes on Sunday night. He goes on Wednesday night. He goes to church every time doors is open. He's done quit everything. He can't have no fun anymore. And that was my testimony. And they thought it was talking bad about me. But that's what it means. I turned my back on everything else to follow Jesus. Like the song says, I decided to follow Jesus. Now I left all for God. Hebrews 11:8 says this. You thought we weren't going to read Hebrews, did you? Hebrews 11:8 says this about Abraham. He obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. He went out, not knowing whether he went. He just took off. What would your family think about you if you woke up tomorrow and said, the Lord told me to get out there on Highway 901 and just go, and he'd tell me where to stop? They'd say, let's make him an appointment. He done lost his mind. It's probably what they said when you left California, Brother Dan, when you said, we're moving to South Carolina. And they said, why? Rebel flags, rednecks, right, race rights, and you haven't seen none of that, have you? Huh? Yeah, that's what it said to your face. But it says he left all for God, and it says he obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. He didn't have any idea. He was looking for a country, the Bible says, whose builder and maker is God. And he'd never been there. And he'd never known anybody else that had been there. None of his kinfolks had been there and come back and told him about it. His preacher had never been there. Nobody had ever been where God was telling him to go. And by faith, he pulled up stakes, he cashed in everything, and he hit the road. And he had such great faith, he had a nephew, and that nephew's family hooked up with him and went with him and left with him. Now that's what you did when you got saved. By faith, you turned to Jesus Christ on your way to heaven. How many of y'all in here been to heaven? But you're going. And you've never even been there. And you ain't never seen it. Well, I saw this movie one time. Oh, forget that. That's Hollywood. That don't do anything like heaven. You've not been there. And you don't know anybody that's been there and been back to tell you about it either. If they said they did, they were lying. I know one that did. His name was Jesus. Now, he came back and told us what it was all about. Now, let me tell you something. We are headed to a country whose builder and maker is God, and that's the first step of faith right there. We turned from we had our plans. We knew what we were going to do. We had it planned out. And then one day, all of a sudden, whoa, there we go. Where are you going? Heaven. You ever been there before? No. Do you know the address? No. Do you know what it looks like? No. Well, how are you going to get there? By faith. That's the first step. Now, a lot of people will get that first step. They'll get it. Jesus put it this way in Matthew 6:33. He told them, he said, you got to love him more than you love this. Seek the kingdom of God first. Seek the kingdom of God first. Jerry used to wear a lapel pin that said Jesus first or something like that, didn't you? Now, that's what you got to do. You seek his kingdom first, and then all that other stuff just falls in. You understand what I'm saying? There's a lot of people seeking things on earth, and when they die, they're going to leave it. I heard them arguing over the estate tax again today. Trump's talking about taxes. Some people call it death tax. Y'all know what that is. A man will work, make $1 million in a business, you know, and then he dies, and then it's taxed again, you know. But the point being, listen, I've never seen this place. I don't know anybody else ever seen this place. But by faith, just believing God, I'm going to go. You say, what's worse can happen, preacher? Well, the worst could happen is it's not true and I've had a happy life on the road. Yeah. Amen? Now we know it's true because the Bible's true. We know that. But even if it weren't, this road's still a lot better than the road I used to be on. Amen? Yeah. This destination's a whole lot better than the destination I used to have. Amen? And so step number one will make you happy. If you by faith get on this road headed to heaven by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, turning from the world, the flesh, and the devil, and turning to Him and receiving Him as your Savior, you'll be happy. A lot of people looking for happiness. They are. If you're a Christian, you're not happy, I doubt if you're saved. You're either not saved or you're so far out of the will of God you don't feel like you're saved no more. Help me here. Christians on our way to heaven by faith. We obeyed God and we went out not knowing whether we went. And I'm still going. You know, the strange thing is, all those people who didn't get on that faith path with me, most of them's already dead. And they thought I was losing my life, and they were right. I lost my life to get life. But they thought I was throwing everything away, and now where are they? Amen. And I'm still happy. number two. Step number one. Write that in your Bible right there. Step number one, leave all for God. Genesis 12:5. Just leave it all. Leave all for God. Now look at Genesis 13:9-14. Genesis 13:9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and to thy seed forever. He saw it. The Lord said, I want you to get up on this hill and look as far as you can see that way. And he looked that way. He said, all right, now I want you to look as far as you can see that way. He saw that way. Now look as far as you can that way. And he looked that way. And look as far as you can that way. And he looked that way. He said, now that's yours. I'm going to give that to you. Now, if it had been you and I, we'd have said, but Lord, there's already people living there. I think if Lot had decided to go the other direction, he'd have pointed down at Sodom and said, that's going to be yours too. Y'all still with me? And so step number two is, after you leave all for God, you got to leave all with God. Now here's what I mean by that. Go back and read the story of Lot and his herdsmen, his people that kept the family, you know, that kept the herds, and Abram's family and their herdsmen that was keeping their herds. They were arguing over pasture land, you know. So Abram finally said, we can't go together anymore. We've become too big. We got too much. God's blessed us too much. We've got to split up. And this is what he told Lot. Go back and read it. Pick any way you want to go. I'm going to let you pick first. And then whatever you pick, I'll go the other way. Is that what he said? So that meant, even if he had picked Sodom, if Lot had not picked those well-watered plains of Sodom, if he'd picked the other direction, he'd have got it. You know why? Because Abram had done made up his mind that he was going to leave everything to God. God was going to direct his path. God was going to tell him where to go. And whatever happened, it was God's will. You don't see that? He didn't. The well-watered plains of Sodom were rich. Rich people lived down there. A lot of the other was just barren desert. And poor people living on mud huts and stuff like that. And Abram didn't give that a second thought. You ever been around a family when somebody's passed away and there was a few things to inherit? The war is on. They'll fuss, they'll cuss, they'll fight, they'll do everything over a little old piece of land, over a little old house. I've seen them fight over a little ring on the woman's hand in the casket. They don't have any faith. Look here, when you and I got saved, we were supposed to leave everything to God and let God decide what we needed and what we didn't need and where we should go and where we shouldn't go. We should leave it all to God. Now, we left all for God. Now, the second step, and very few do it, the second step is leave it all to God. I don't own anything. I don't. When I was growing up, I certainly didn't own anything. But over the years, my wife and I, we've accumulated some things. If you live long enough, you'll have your house paid off. Hallelujah, glory to God, amen. We don't ever really get it paid off because every year the state and the city and everybody else sends you a notice saying you need to pay them. They really own it. We're just maintenance people, that's all. But you'll accumulate a few things. You'll accumulate maybe some cars. I got clothes I can't even wear no more. I need to give some away. And all you men do, don't sit there and laugh at me. That pot belly wasn't there when you bought some of those clothes. And you accumulated that belly, amen? And God's blessed you. And He blessed you with a house. And He blessed you with automobiles and other things. And but you know what you need to do with that stuff? You need to look at it and say, that's not mine, that's His. I don't own anything. There's not a thing that God does not own that belongs to me because it belongs to Him. And look, don't turn there, but Jude 24, there's only one chapter, verse 24. Now unto Him that's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Now, the second step is leave it all with God. Abram left everything with God. Lot, whatever you want, you take it. He took the richest. I don't see where Abram argued about it, do you? I don't see where he had a lawsuit took out on him, do you? I don't see where he hired a lawyer to get the will changed, do you? No. He just said, okay. And because he was like that, then after Lot got out, then God told Abram, come up here, I want to show you what you got. Far as you can see, 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 every bit of that's yours. Can you imagine that? I own right at an acre of land. It's just a little bit less than an acre of land. And the way I grew up, that's a lot of property. I mean, that's a lot of property. Mama's rented a house all her life. We never owned anything. And so now I give it to God and say, now God, by the way, somebody in Indian land, I read in the paper, bought that ticket for the lottery. It's not $1 million, but it's close to it or something. And I thought to myself, I don't have to do that. I don't have to buy a lottery ticket. I already own it all now. Everything God wants to give me, I already own it. He's going to give it to me. And I won't need for anything. Old Bully Falkenberry used to say it like this. He'd say, I've never seen a saved, living right, tithing Baptist that needed anything. They might want some things. If God wants to give it to them, He will. But if He doesn't, He's not going to give it to them. But they won't need anything. He supplies all our needs. Amen? Amen. Now, when you get there, then you are happier. Because, see, you don't worry about material things. You don't. Look. When I got married, I had two Winn-Dixie bags full of clothes, and I had a 1972 Dodge Demon, and one driving it. And later on, a drunk friend of mine wrecked that. But the point being, look, I came in this world naked. I don't plan to leave any other way. You see these guys going around here, you know. And these girls just going, oh, he's so handsome. And I say, you ought to have been there when he was born. He was ugly. He was wrinkled, hairless, and toothless. And you know what? If you marry him when he leaves the world, he's leaving the same way. Bald, toothless, and wrinkled. That's the way we come in. That's the way we're going out if you live long enough. Amen. So give it to him. Quit worrying about that stuff. You'll be a whole lot happier if you quit chasing stuff and let God give you what you need. Man, I could preach on that all night, but time's up. Look at Genesis 22. Genesis 22, real quick. Genesis 22. Look at verse 16. 22, 16. Well, verse 15, the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, number one, you left off for God. Number two, you left all with God, and now you're finding that everything you need is in God. Did you see that? He told him, he said, now, because, and you remember the story, he told him to sacrifice his son, his only son, you know. But I believe that God knew, Abram knew that wasn't going to happen because God had already promised him what was going to come through that son. So he knew it already. But he went up there and he did just what God told him to, and he laid him on that altar. And I want you to know something else too. The son laid on the altar. And he laid on that altar and he drew the knife back, and God stopped him, and God said, now, because you obeyed me in this, I'm going to bless you in everything. And from then on, he found everything in God. And you'll be a lot happier if you get that way. You won't be standing in line to buy scratch and sniff lottery tickets and then get mad when it didn't work. Come on, help me. And by the way, if y'all doing that, you need to get right with God. You can put that money on the building fund and do a lot better. Amen? And but look, first thing you're going to do, you're going to leave all for God. You're going to turn to Christ. You're going to be saved. And then you're going to leave all with God. You're going to learn that it's better to let him handle things than you handle it. And by the way, if he took over your bank account, you'd be a whole lot better off. And then you're going to find out one day that everything you are and everything you want to be is in God anyway. And then you'll truly be happy. I've seen people get out of the Lord's will for all kinds of stuff they thought would make them happy, and it did not do it. It did not do it. It did not do it. If we just find it in him. Look, that guy that shot those people out there in Las Vegas, he was a multi-millionaire. The news media tried to make it sound like he'd lost a lot of money playing cards, but he hadn't. And even if he had, he was still a multi-millionaire. Had real estate. A Mongol type guy, you know, and a big time gambler and all that stuff. And from looks of him, he must be one of the most miserable people walking planet Earth. I know he is now. Amen. Michael Jackson, one of the richest, most famous singers that's ever walked, next to Elvis Presley. And that's the truth. Black folks think of him the way y'all think of Elvis Presley. And boy, look how perverted he got. And he got so bad he couldn't sleep at night. Sleeping pills didn't work anymore, and drugs didn't work anymore. So he started getting that, I can't even pronounce, propranolol, huh? Yep. Propranolol. And he had a doctor he had there that would pay, that he would pay to come over at night to put a drip in his arm and let that stuff drip just enough so he'd go unconscious. And the doctor gave him too much and he died. You think he was happy? Well, certainly if money and fame and fortune and friends and all that's going to make you happy, he should have been one of the happiest people to ever live. But he wasn't. And story after story after story, we could tell those. And then Christians, we'll take that first step. We'll find it all in Christ. We may even take that second step and we'll leave it all with him. But you'll find very few that find everything about their life in God. I was up at the hospital yesterday with Chris, his family, and Sister Shirley. And we were sitting there talking. Somebody said, "Where's John?" John is Shirley's brother-in-law. Her sister was married to him. Now, of course, John's his own man. He's... You got to go somewhere with John. John took me one time to a nursing home in Charlotte. He said, "We're going to go see his wife's first cousin. He's over there in rehab. He's had a knee surgery or something. We're going to go see him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen." That's the way he talks. And so we walked in that front door. He said, "I got the room number." And hallelujah. Glory to God, sister. "Hey, brother. Hallelujah. Amen." That's the way he talks everywhere he goes. And we walked in that room, and he walked over and he grabbed that man by the hand, and he said, "Brother, we've been praying for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Hallelujah. We've been praying for you. Hey, God's going to raise you up. Hey, God's wonderful. God's powerful," and all that. And the man's laying there looking, you know, and he's saying, this is Preacher Ron Ronnie. We're going to get him to pray for you, and God's going to get you up out of this bed." He went on for about 30 minutes like that. The man never said a word. He just laid there in that bed and looked at us, and we turned around. walked out, and later on found out that wasn't even the man we were supposed to be talking to. I don't know what that man's name was, but it wasn't him. But you know what? John Coley finds it in God. And when I told John that, he said, "Well, hallelujah anyhow. Man, God bless him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen." Everywhere he goes. Everywhere he goes. He just assumes people are saved. He's saved from being old, drunk, late in life. Now he's 91. And he just assumes everybody's saved. He calls everybody brother. He calls everybody sister. He said, "Hey," he talks about Jesus to everybody. He just assumes they want to hear it much as he wants to talk about it. Because one day he found it all in God. He wrote a song the night that Jim Beam found John 3:16. And he sings it. He sings it about how he got saved in a motel room, drunk, drinking Jim Beam, and opened up his Bible from all those years of a Christian mama and a Christian family and read John 3:16, got saved and poured out the liquor and ain't never touched it again. And he wrote, y'all got to hear him sing. I'll get him down here. He'll sing that song. Of course, it's going to take him 15 minutes to get to it. But praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. But see, one day, and he's the best example I know. He finds it all in God. Oh, well, he won't talk about that. He did. He testified. He can testify about anything. His wife died and he shouted. Praise God, hallelujah, she's in it. Not the way you would shout. We're on live Facebook, you better look out, bro. I'm not going to tell them who said that. Not that kind of shouting. He said, "Praise God, she's in heaven." I was telling a good story and you messed it up. No, I didn't. I was telling a good story and you started shouting. You got to find it in God. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, so the question tonight is, what makes you happy? And then what makes you happier? And then what makes you happiest? Amen? I want to find it all in him. I want to be like the Apostle Paul, that I might know him, he said, and the power of his resurrection. Now, I've had a little taste of that. When he saved me, I had a little taste of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then on occasions when he's filled me with his Spirit, I had a little taste of the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But I want to know him better. I want to get so close to him. I want to be like Moses. Don't have to hang a rag over my face because it'll shine so bright people get convicted when I walk in the room. We used to have Christians like that. They walk in the room, everybody else get quiet. And not preachers. They weren't even Sunday school teachers, just regular old Christians. They'd walk in a room full of sinners, and sinners would quit cussing and going on and pay respect because they knew him and the power of his resurrection. Now I'm getting cold chills. That's finding all in him. My mama ain't never owned nothing. I know that's not good English, but we are in South Carolina. What do you expect? My mama has not owned anything. She's never owned an automobile. She's never owned a house. Few clothes, not much. She's never bought much. Usually the most expensive thing she has is a little television. But you know what? I think she found it all in God. And you go over to the nurse home, see her now, she's so happy. 98 years old, dementia, can't walk, and smiling and laughing, and everybody in there says she's the sweetest person in the building. Praise the Lord. She found something. Don't you want to do that? Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God.